Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engaged to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we have a very special guest, someone who's not unfamiliar to podcasts, but this is his first time on Engaged to Flourish. Welcome to the show, Blake Arkhockey. Welcome, Blake.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So we invited Blake to come on because we have our small group meeting later tonight. And so we asked him if he'd just show up a little bit early, and it worked out that he said he would come on. And he actually made an agreement right now as we were sitting here to say yes to things in the future. So thanks for saying yes to the podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be here.
So we're right coming off of our retreat, and we felt like we really needed to record something for this week because last week we kind of missed in prep for the retreat. So we really wanted to put out an episode this week, and it was a great retreat. What did you think, Kyle?
Yes, it was. What kind of question is that? I think that's why we wanted to definitely get one out this week, because there's a lot to just talk about and reminisce already. And I think the sooner we do it, the less I'm getting more forgetful. So I kind of want to catch up. Don't even say, I can see you going to your mic. You're going to say something. You're so mean.
Maybe it's because you're getting,
I'm hitting a new decade. there were so many things happening. I'm even looking at some notes and just thinking back to all the sessions, and man, it was like a blur. But in a good way, there was so much good stuff happening.
I'm just really excited because I think Blake has a really cool story that we all want to hear. But do we want to start with that, or should we do that later?
Let's save that for a little bit.
Okay, well, Blake has a really cool story. He kind of already pitched a little bit at the retreat. So if you weren't there, too bad. But I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about that to give context. But yeah, he has a pretty cool story.
Maybe we could go a little bit like chronologically, because then his stuff is toward the end that he would share, I think, right?
Well, I actually have a story that leads into the retreat.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. You know, I shared at the retreat that I was kind of in a tough spot, right? I've been in a really tough season for a good year and a half, mm-hmm. where I just felt drained. And I remember when the retreat was announced, I really wasn't sure if I was going to go. Mm-hmm. I was really debating it with myself. I was really good at talking myself out of things, but people kept asking me. I remember Dale texted me.
I was just going to say, I bet you one of them was probably Dale.
She texted me, and then I said, yeah, we could talk about it on Sunday. And then Sunday, she tracks me down.
Yeah.
And she says, so, you want to sign up? You want to go? And I finally said, yeah, sure, I want to go. Give me the paper. I signed up, paid my money. I just did that because I just didn't want to be asked anymore. Right? So I was just thinking, okay, let me just pay, and then I can decide.
Had to wear down your flesh, right?
Right. Totally wore me down. I'm like, I give up. I'm going to pay and go. Because I knew Sean was going to go.
Yeah.
That was right. No question.
Right.
And again, I just... like I shared, I'd been so drained. I was just feeling really empty that I just wasn't sure I'd have the energy for it. Mm-hmm. And so, but yeah, I ended up going, and yeah, the rest is history.
So the week of, was it still back and forth, or was it more like, I think I'm going to go? Or,
well, the week of, it's not like I was sitting there, oh yeah, I can't wait. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, right.
I was just thinking, oh man, I'm going to wake up early Saturday and I'm going to have to drive out. But let's just do it. Let's just go. And that's where I was at. I wasn't in any kind of space where I'm thinking, oh, there's going to be some great revelation or a great impact. I just thought, oh, it'd be fun to see some people, have some lunch and things like that.
Did you commute or did you stay?
I did commute.
Oh, so then you had an out too. Like, well, if I'm too tired after the first day, maybe.
Right. And I even had an out on the Saturday afternoon because we had a family get together. Mm. And so I left after lunch, mm-hmm. and I missed the evening, mm. which I now really wish I had been there, mm. just from how the other sessions impacted me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, you know, it's what it is. I made it there, which is positive.
No, for sure. Speaking of which, though, we do have audio recordings, if I'm not mistaken, right, Damon?
Yes, we do have audio recordings, although session two is the session that is the recording is not great. But we do have audio recordings of all the sessions.
Oh, so is that the volume or sound level was?
It was just kind of crackly throughout the whole. So it is listenable. Kristen told me that she listened to it and she was able to plow through it, but it was just a little bit more difficult than the other ones. The other ones were fine, okay. But session two was a little bit more difficult. I just think that one was pretty impactful. So I think mm-hmm. there was some technical difficulties with that one. But yeah, I mean, Pastor Sam brought it every single session. Mm-hmm. So if you do want it, copy of the audio files, just send me an email. You could send it to podcast@catalystchristiancommunity.org and we can send you out a link to those files.
Cool.
You got it, man. You got it, Damon.
Well, you asked me a question, so I answered your question. I thought you were going to pick up and ask something else. So the theme of the weekend was the Of God Next Steps. Although it didn't necessarily seem like he talked that much about the book of God, but it really was more the next steps for us as a church and really taking a look at, in a deeper way, the what our will is and how God wants us to exercise our will to do and to live out our life.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the next steps just because going through the book was very sharp contrast from where we had been at as a church, a lot more grace, a lot of soaking in that. And so the awe of God was a little bit jarring for some people, but I think this was then the next steps of, okay, knowing that, knowing both sides of it, like, how do we walk that out? How do we live it out?
I thought you were going to keep going. Okay.
we're out of sync. We haven't done this for a few weeks.
It's been a few weeks, so I guess we're not quite there yet. So yeah, so for each session, I mean, I really feel like there were a few just nuggets here and there that Pastor Sam shared that were really impactful for people. Like one of the ones that he talked about that I felt like throughout the whole weekend was a consistent theme was the theme of a yoke, right? And how for a lot of times for us, you know, a yoke is a part of farming equipment, right? Mm. That you attach a yoke to an ox or a cow or a horse, and you attach, and they're able to pull a plow or a carriage or something because they are yoked to it. And so the analogy that Pastor Sam gave is for a lot of us in our Christian life, we feel like we either are yoked to the carriage or the activity or the work by ourselves, or we try to put the yoke totally on God, but that's not the picture that God wants us to have, is that God wants us to do things with him, in relationship with him, and that we're yoked together with him rather than either pulling it on our own or giving it totally to him. The Lord wants us to walk with him together and be yoked together with him.
And a dual yoke. They're single ones, but you can have you pair up animals as well. Okay, so Blake, in session two, you missed it, but I think you might have heard this kind of said. I know Sam said it a couple other times. But a healthy, strong will equals I will choose what God is choosing for me. So I thought when he said that, I'm like, oh, I got to write this one down. So I wrote it down in my notebook thing, and I thought, wow, yeah. When I have a healthy, strong will, I'm aligning with what God's already choosing for me. Did you catch that in a couple of the other sessions, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I actually don't remember him saying that. But when I think about will, I've always feel like that I have a pretty good connection to what my will is. Mm. I just didn't realize how disconnected it was to what God wants me to do. I don't think if I'd heard that, I don't know how connected it would have been to me. Because it was really the third session that hit me like a ton of bricks.
Let's jump into that then. Like what was it in the third session that really just kind of grabbed your, basically it sounded like your spirit really came alive then.
Yeah. Okay. So it's really funny because before the third session.
So that's Sunday morning, right?
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Was it Sunday morning? Yeah. I'm kind of getting confused about the times and stuff. Might've been Sunday night is what I got hit. I'm not really sure. Mm. But I just remember it was the message around the yoke and how he talked about, you have all this stuff in your cart with your own yoke. Mm-hmm. And I just could picture that pretty clearly. Mm-hmm. Like all these things I had been talking about that are just in my cart and I'm holding it and it's exhausting me. Mm-hmm. And that started to click. I'm like, oh, you know, all the things I've been complaining about. I had just gotten done talking to Barry, telling him all these things that are kind of pulling on me, taking my energy, and I just want to rest. I just need a break. Mm-hmm. And then he talks about that, about the yoke and how all these things you're pulling, and it's hard because you're pulling your own yoke. Then I think that was also the message where he talked about, you know, resting is not doing nothing. Mm. And I'm like, oh, man, that just like, and he says, and it doesn't make sense. I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking, you're right. What are you talking about? It makes no sense. How can rest be working? And I was sitting there, and God just kind of revealed to me just how foolish I've been, how selfish in some ways that I've been, where I'm thinking that, you know, this is my time. I want my time. Stop taking my time and let me have my time to do what I want to do, which is rest. And I was looking at the time that I was given doing these different things, men's group, the emotionally healthy relationships class, the parenting. And I'm thinking, all I'm doing is giving my time and I'm not getting anything back. But it's because after seeing this imagery of the yokes and what I'm pulling, I just realized, well, I'm not getting anything back because I'm not taking on God's yoke. I'm taking on my own. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's such a burden for me. And that's why it's so draining and why I'm not getting anything out of it. Because I just was looking at it wrong. Mm. And that was kind of a sobering reality, because I pride myself on being pretty rational, seeing things clearly. Mm-hmm. And I was seeing that just so wrong. Mm-hmm. And I felt so bad thinking about Damon and Ida and Mimo, that I'm doing these things. I'm trying to do the best I can. And I'm smiling. But honestly, my heart wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And I felt bad that, you know, I'm at home complaining, thinking, oh, my gosh, I don't want to do this. I'm so tired. And it was just, yeah, it just. Yeah, I was kind of embarrassed to an extent, and I felt like, how ungrateful am I that I'm given these opportunities to serve in the way God wants me to serve, into the, I guess, the gifts maybe he's given me, the things that he's given me some skills at, I suppose, and I'm not looking at it as a good thing. Mm. I'm not looking at how it might be positively impacting people. Instead, I'm just looking at it as, it's taken my time.
Yeah.
And so that was crazy to go through that. That was really eye-opening.
I like the way that Kyle had put it at the beginning of the story, that your spirit came alive. Because I really feel like, you know, when we get called out in ways, like if we're rationalizing it through our mind or our emotions, it can be really easy to shut it down and be like, no, I'm fine, or no, this is... But for you to receive it the way that you did, it really had to be through your spirit to say like, oh, maybe the way that I'm seeing the world right now is not right. Maybe I need to make a shift. It really had to come from your spirit coming to life first to receive that.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with, it's not just all those things. You know, there's some things going on with our family, with, you know, with Sean, that, and I won't get into the details, but it's been some struggles there for sure. And that's been weighing on me too. And like, gosh, you know, what more do you want to give me? Right? Everything's just draining me. And so I think that kind of impacted my mindset as well. Mm. So that was to actually come to realization, to have it revealed to me just how almost foolish I've been and ungrateful. That's how I felt internally once it kind of hit me. That I knew I had to change the way I thought about it. Right. So
what can you maybe share a little bit of what that was like inside? Because I've had those moments where God's brought pretty strong conviction, yet it was gentle or gracious or whatever too. Yet it was very convicting. And so it sounds kind of like that's what happened with you. Like it was very stark, yet it doesn't sound like you were beating yourself up, but you just came to an awareness like, wow, I haven't been doing this very well.
I probably was beating myself up. I'm kind of hard on myself. Damon knows I'm pretty hard on myself with certain things. But God was not rebuking me. He was, I think, you almost feel like he was like, finally.
you finally getting your attention.
Your eyes, right. Yeah. Like, you finally are seeing what I want you to see. And... yeah, so I was probably harder on myself, thinking I've been wasting a year and a half being angry, being frustrated, and not not feeling what God wants me to feel when I'm serving for him.
Right.
Right. So, yeah.
So your flesh was harder on your emotion, like your emotions probably and your thoughts and stuff. But yet it sounds like kind of like reiterating what Damon just said too. Your spirit was definitely more towards the forefront, which allowed that to happen and probably not let it go so deep in like condemnation type of thing.
Right. And I was feeling almost joyful that I could feel that way.
Interesting.
Right. It was just to have such a big shift in mindset. I mean, twice I complained. Damon's heard the story multiple times, right? And he just listens. He's really nice. Barry sat there and listened to me. Really understanding. Oh, yeah, I see that. And then, you know, I was feeling pretty good after I talked to Barry, thinking, oh, it felt good to get it off my chest. And then that right after that, it's like, oh, man. I almost wish I hadn't said it because, like, you know, it just seems so, you know, but Barry's so cool, so understanding.
Yeah.
That he understood that maybe that's what I needed, was to just say it, share it. So.
So it sounds like, yeah, that's session 3. Maybe into, I think he kind of started session 4 that way. Then that's when we had the response exchange exercise. But I did think it was interesting when Sam, in session 3, he mentioned doing a lot and not feeling like you've, let me find it here real quick. It was, I'm doing a lot, but it doesn't feel like it. And I've been through a season, a pretty long season, like what you were just describing for yourself. And then it took a while to come out of it, but I've actually experienced that other side where it's like, I'm doing more than I think I was doing before, but I actually don't even feel like I am, because it's coming from not from the pressure or from effort and things like that. And I'm like, oh, I kind of get what he's saying. Where before I would have been like, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? How can that happen? So I think it's really cool what you're describing for yourself.
Yeah. And I was ready to keep going. Right. I'm just ready to help with the parenting.
Yeah.
When is the next emotionally healthy relationship class? I was done.
Whoa. That's a 180 degree turn.
Or even the men's group.
Yeah.
Right. All this time I've been thinking, okay, what? How am I going to get out of this? How can I stop doing these things?
Yeah.
But now it's kind of weird for me to have such a big shift so suddenly. Uh-huh. I'm typically a little more deliberate. Uh-huh. I like to think things through, but this was one of those things that I didn't have to think about. It was just right away I felt like I'm a moron. I'm an idiot.
Definitely not those things, Blake.
And I need to shift.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have that cart attached to you right now. So it's like it's just a freeing experience, I'm guessing.
Right.
And I think that's something that's really exciting for me, because I've heard your stories. It's the thing I'm excited about is to see how when you step into these things in the future, I really feel like they're going to be life-giving for you.
Yeah.
And so where before it felt like they were life-draining, I feel like these things are going to be life-giving with this new mindset and this new perception. And then it's going to lead to kind of like what Kyle was saying. Like, you're going to be doing all these things and you're going to be like, I'm doing it and I don't even feel tired, or I don't even feel drained or like I used to. And I'm doing exactly the same stuff, but the way I'm experiencing it is so different.
Mm. Yeah. And honestly, I don't, you know, even if it's not life-giving, I know I'm looking forward to it.
Mm.
Right. I'm not dreading it. And I'm excited to see, you know, what comes about from it. And everything else is going to be icing on the cake.
Mm. That's good.
I mean, I think that's a good lead into talking a little bit about our ministry time activity.
Yeah.
Because that was impactful for you, because it was actually after this mental shift that you had, that the Lord had brought into your paradigm, into your mindset, was an activity where we were able to like practically and tangibly step into this surrendering old ways and receiving a new way. So I know you shared it at the retreat, but there are people that listen that were not able to go to the retreat.
Right. And he came up. I whispered in his ear, "Hey, we got to keep it short," because I knew we were short on time. And I'm like, man, but I want to get. And I know there was another youth that had to share too. So I'm like, I can't go too long. So I want to give you now. You have more breath here. So go for it. Give us a little bit more of the backstory.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I want that short. Actually, that was a great activity for me, and it took no time for me to know what I wanted to, what I was going to put on it or in what context. So I went up to Martha right away. And I explained what's going on. At first, we were going to write control. We were thinking, oh, maybe controls. I was like, well, that doesn't really quite feel it. It feels more like my time. Like I'm surrendering my time. That felt right because I've been complaining about my time being taken away. And so, yeah, we got to that, put my time. She prayed for me. She walked me over. It's really cool how you guys did that. They shepherded you throughout the whole process. I thought that was cool. Put the rock down, then gave me a rock. I actually grabbed a small white one at first. We talked through it, and I realized, I want to write perspective because I think that's where God is giving me. That's the gift he's given me because he gave it to me so quickly. And so I had to go back and get a bigger rock.
It's a long word. Or you got to write really small.
Yeah, it was just too small of a rock. Yeah, and it was so quick. And I'm actually glad it went quick because it got pretty crowded up there. And, yeah, it was a really easy activity for me for something normally I probably would struggle with. That it was just so clear what I was supposed to put and what I was going to get as a gift.
Okay, yeah, so normally in that type of setting, that type of activity, would you be debating in your seat? Like, should I go, should I not? I don't know if I need to, or, I mean, like
It's not that I would debate whether I should go or not. I'd be debating the word. I'd be really wanting to make sure I got to get the right word. I don't want to go up there, talk to someone who, you know, I look at the elders and the prayer ministers, and I think, oh, you know, they're really, I don't know, I just hold them in very high regard. And I don't want to go there with something dumb, right?
Come on.
Or in my head.
Yeah.
Just in my head. This is not me. This is all in me, right?
It's your flesh talking. Yeah, you're not your spirit.
My
your
flesh
soul.
Talking. Yeah. And this is what happens.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah. Oh, no. I think I asked you to give us that side because I think it's a lot. It's true for a lot of us. So.
Yeah. But I didn't give into that. I got it. I knew pretty much what I wanted to talk about, and I just went right
to
it.
You're obedient. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
There was no point in delaying it because I would just sit there and talk myself out of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's cool, too, because I feel like this is a picture of what it looks like when your spirit is alive. And then in that setting, your flesh was submitted to your spirit, right? So earlier, your spirit was there listening to the message, and you were able to receive it pretty quickly. And then in the next session, you're able to receive the word right away and step into it right away without battling it, without, you know, allowing your flesh to take over and start debating it. And then you're able to go through it. And it seems to be a life-changing moment in perspective and everything. And so, like, the benefits of allowing our spirit to come to life and to be able to be receptive to the will of the Lord, I think it's a really cool picture.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of crazy how quickly it happened, though. That's not normal for me at all. So, yeah.
Get your flesh out of the way, and it's like, hey, this connection is strong and pure.
Yeah, and I don't think I really stopped to think about just how much my flesh was in the way, right? Because you're just living.
I think that's true for a lot of us. Yeah.
You know, you're living. Yeah, I'm annoyed sometimes. I'm frustrated and angry, but I'm still eating. I'm still working. I'm still playing golf. So, yeah, I'm still doing all the things in my life, but it just feels so freeing and good. Like it just felt different. It's hard to explain it.
I think different is a good way. It's not as maybe descriptive, but I know it's hard to put words to that kind of thing,
right?
I caught myself several times. I think it was at least once when the guys in my small group were sharing, but then also just I think I was when I was going around talking to the other prayer people that night in that session specifically, and just kind of getting some like ideas of what was happening, and I could feel like I was like giddy inside, like my spirit was like yes, like super excited to hear all these things and starting to see like kind of light bulbs go on and this awareness of like, oh, there's a different way to live that God has for me, and I could tell my spirit was like just pumped up. It was very exciting.
Yeah, it just felt lightning. Like just felt so much lighter because I wasn't carrying this anger and frustration that stopped taking my time, right? Like just had that mindset shift just changed a lot.
No, it shows how much what we carry in the flesh, how that impacts us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
Right. So I'm kind of giggling a little bit because...
Yes, why are you giggling, Damon? Why are you giggling?
Because up until about like 7 o'clock when the session actually started, we were kind of going back and forth about what that actually was going to look like, right? Right, Kyle?
Okay, yeah. So a little behind the scenes. We thought we had it pretty set like on Thursday, and it changed, and I think rightfully so, and it's okay.
No, I think the way that it turned out was actually way better than what we had originally.
But then, so I kept checking with Barry, like, hey, what are we going to do? What are we going to change? Because me and Damon and Pastor Barry were in charge of that night's session, like that activity. We had to come up with what it was going to be. And so then that afternoon, we're meeting like at 2 o'clock or so, and 2:30, I don't know, and it's starting to come together, and then Pastor Sam comes there, and we get some feedback from him, and it's like, okay, I think we had it pretty set. No, that was actually later, huh? It was like closer to 4 by the time.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. So then it's like, oh, shoot, I think I'm going to have to go to the Freedom Center and pick up a cross, because we didn't have a cross to like bring the rocks to, and we're like, I think that's significant. We have to have that. And I'm like, I think we need to print some stuff too. So I'm like, okay, half an hour there, da-da-da-da-da. Like, I think I can get back by 7. So, yeah, I come here and get some stuff done. And Damon types some stuff out, sends it to me. I print it here. I print out some instructions for the prayer people. I'm flying. I'm going like 80 on the way back. It was like, there's no traffic. I get back at like 6:57. So I get back. And I'm like, yeah, that was interesting too. It was chaotic. And in normal times, I'd be way more stressed. I would have felt like really tense, like even like a tension headache. And it was tiring and it was intense, but I still felt like it was in like God's control. Like it was happening. We had time during worship to kind of finish up the last little details. And then it was kind of like, Barry's like, okay, Pastor Barry's like, you're going to go up and give the instructions. And I'm like, oh shoot. I don't know. I don't know if I'm like, well, I'm just going to have to go do it. And I don't think it came out perfect, but in the grand scheme of things, it worked out way better than I thought. And to your point, Blake, about the people escorting, that kind of came up at one point, and we were like, oh, I think that's good. But I didn't know what it was going to be like until I was walking around, especially when I was on the far side by the screen, that side of the room, and watching people take the long walk over there. And it was like, and then Pastor Barry came up to me, and he goes, you see that? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, that's really cool. That's really cool the way they're doing that. And I'm like, I know. I wasn't expecting it to feel and look like that.
I'm still giggling because there's more to this story.
Okay, you give some more.
All right. So in our meeting earlier that day when we were debriefing, we actually had multiple meetings with the prayer ministry leaders because we were going to have a meeting at,
after
I think
game
it was
time.
Like 4 o'clock, yeah. We were going to have a meeting, but game time got done early. So we said, oh, why don't we just start with the people that are here?
Yeah.
We'll start the meeting. So we kind of shared with them what we were thinking. And then people started to come in that were planning to come for the 4 o'clock meeting. We're like, oh, we'll just meet with them separately. And then kind of in between, we were kind of shifting still. So what we told the people at 4 o'clock was a little bit different than what we had told people that came earlier. So then when Kyle comes back and we actually start the activity, it was kind of funny because the first group, we didn't tell them that they were supposed to escort. Told them that we were...
Well, some of them knew, but some didn't, yeah.
So we weren't... Yeah, so some of them didn't know. So they're like, we're supposed to escort them? I thought we weren't going to do that. So yeah, there was a little bit of miscommunication on that. But it's now something we can laugh about. But it was really... I really do feel like that was the way it was supposed to go with the escorting and everything. But it was kind of funny.
It was another growing experience for me on the leadership side of just... Okay, just God will get, he'll get the stuff done he needs to and he wants to, and it'll come out better. So don't stress it. You still have to do your pieces, but I did feel enough peace, like it's going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. Yeah.
No, it was great. It's like you had the feeling that you weren't doing it alone,
mm.
right? That it's like the whole stronger together. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That mm-hmm. having someone just walk, even if, just guiding me was really nice. Mm. I really appreciated that.
Cool. Thanks. Thanks for the feedback.
So that leads us to Monday morning, which was awesome, but it was also kind of like we were discerning to the last minute of what that was actually going to look like.
So,
also,
so we stayed up till about 12:30 that on Sunday night, and we were like, okay, this doesn't feel right. What we have planned for tomorrow. And then we settled on, okay, I think Pastor Peter's supposed to start us off, and then we're supposed to do some testimonies. But after that, we don't know, and I think we have to hold it loose. So then we went through the whole battle of, I know, people have to check out, and da, da, da. We went back and forth. That all worked out too, but I think that was the part we felt like, you know what, God just wants us to surrender the rest of it. Once we get up to the testimonies, maybe it'll be testimonies until we leave, or we'll have to do some other things. But I was put in charge of testimonies. And so I went up there and I'm like, all right, so yeah, we're going to share some testimonies of what happened last night, because I think it's important to get that out and verbalize it in front of each other. And it was hard at the beginning. It was like crickets. I'm like, oh boy, this might be a tough one.
I turned to Ron and I was like, this is actually unusual for open mic for us, because recently everybody's just been like running to the front to share. So I thought it was actually unusual.
So I'm curious to hear your side, Blake. So when I mentioned it right away, were you like, oh, maybe? Or like, no, I'm good. Or like what was going on inside for you?
I had an inkling that I was supposed to share. Mm. It wasn't this overwhelming heart beating.
Yeah, yeah.
But I felt like that was the story I was supposed to share.
Yeah, yeah.
And but you know, you're fighting it, right? Mm-hmm. You sit there, you doubt yourself, you're not really sure. And then the first few people come up. And it was really cool because Howard and I were like next to each other. Who's that?
Yeah. Like,
do you know who that is?
Visitors or like newer people. Yeah.
Right. And I thought that was so cool. Like, and I'm thinking to myself, gosh, these people who are visitors who don't go to Catalyst regularly, they're going up there and sharing. I got to do it. Mm. But I was still battling with myself. Mm. And finally, I think what happened was there was a bit of silence, mm-hmm. and I verbalized something, uh-huh. apparently. I did not know that.
I didn't hear from the stage, but two other people confirmed. And right.
I didn't realize I'd verbalized something. And then I
see your spirit's talking. Your flesh has no idea what's going on.
I don't know if his spirit talks like that. Maybe not.
Yeah, because then that's when Barry told me afterwards. She said, yeah, you said this. And yeah. then you walked up. I'm like, I said that?
And Nemo goes, yeah, I heard it. Too funny.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty funny. But when I was sitting there listening to others, uh-huh. I think that was good that I waited, because I think what God did, he helped me organize that story in my head, because there was a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And by the time I went up there, I had it pretty clear how I was going to share the order of things. You know, I like to be right. I like
storytelling, yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're good at it.
And so, yeah, and then I get up there. Kyle throws me for a loop. You got to be fast. Make it brief.
Because he knew you were going to come on the podcast this week, so you could share
exactly,
a lot more.
Exactly.
But it was no sweat. I mean, I think the story was, there were some key points I wanted to make sure I pointed out. A little bit about the journey, like where I was at. I think that was an important thing to lean into, just so it made more sense of how impactful it was. But yeah, and it's cool. You know, you're walking as you're speaking. I'm just kind of just talking, and I tend to hone in on certain people. Mm-hmm. And one person I always looked at was Don Harada, because he's always nodding. And so I'm feeling good. He's nodding. Okay, I must be on the right track. So yeah, it was good. I think I definitely felt like I was meant to go up there.
No, absolutely. Sure. I was just going to say that. I wanted to affirm you going up, because that what you have been wrestling with for that season and how you overcame it, super relevant and applicable to, I don't know if I say everyone, but I probably could confidently say everyone. At least at some point we deal with that. There's the selfish side, the self-centered, like it's my time, it's my, you know, how is it affecting me? Totally get it. And I think the cool story had happened in such a tight time frame for you, and genuinely seeing the impact it had on you after like the day before to that day, I could totally see, like, oh my gosh, it transformed something inside him.
Yeah, it's almost like I was wearing fog covered glasses, and how God was able to help me see it so clearly, so quickly, was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right? It was really affirming, because I'm not that quick with getting things. I'm just not. I'm not super quick with certain decisions because I like to make sure I think about fully.
Yeah.
But that one was one that I just didn't have to.
So after we shared the testimonies, we had a couple of cool activities that we did. So one of them was Brett shared with us about how, you know, we are on holy ground, that we're in a new era. That's been something that has been prophesied over our church, that we're in a new era. It's not just a new season for us. It's a new era. So in that, Brett had everyone take off their shoes and line the back and the side of the room that we were in with the shoes, and then had everybody walk across holy ground to this other side of the room.
Or that was Jody's part. It was like her prophetic act.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
So we walked across the room from one side to the cross, mm-hmm. right? So with our shoes off. So after that's done, Blake starts walking to the back where his shoes are and starts to try to put his shoes back on. So let's pick up the story there, Blake.
Yeah. My feet were cold, man. It felt like the carpet was wet. That's how cold it felt. And so I'm like, let me put my shoes back on. And then Damon says, no, don't put your shoes on. And the kids are going to be doing something, so they want us to leave our shoes out. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good. No problem.
No, that's not what you said.
Oh, that's not what I said?
No, that's not what you said. I said, right. I told him, I said, Blake.
He knows. He knows. What did you actually say, Blake?
That's right. I said, no, it's okay. Let someone else get a note on their shoe or something.
Yes. So I told him, because the kids were going to go later on. They were working on prophetic blessings that they were going to seek the Lord and ask, whose shoes am I supposed to put this blessing on? So first they had to seek the Lord, get a picture, ask the Lord for an interpretation of the picture, and then also whose shoes am I supposed to put them in? And the reason that they did shoes...
Like an image of the shoe, like what color, or what does it look like?
And one of the reasons that they did it with shoes is because a lot of times with kids, they'll go find someone they know or go find their parent and give it to them because it's comfortable. So with the shoes, they don't know whose shoes it is. So they can't pick and choose who they're going to give it to. It's really more the Lord, right? And so I tell Blake, hey, Blake, the kids are going to be giving out these blessings. He's like, no, I already feel like I've gotten a lot at this retreat. It's been really good. So I want someone else to receive the blessing today, right? So I was kind of like, hey, Blake, but what if the Lord wants to bless you?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've been going through this difficult season where you've been feeling like you've been pulling at, like it's everything's been pulling out of you. Like, what if the Lord wants you to be overflowing? So, you know, it's been good, but what if he wants to give you more? And he's like, okay, I guess I'll take my shoes off.
That's right. I had to take it back off. That's right.
Okay, so give us the background of those shoes too. You told us before we started recording. Like,
yeah, I never wear those shoes. Mm-hmm. I wear those when I go walking because Damon recommended these shoes to me probably at least 3 years ago.
Yeah, they've already had, they're on four versions of that shoe after.
Right, so I hardly ever wear them. But for some reason that morning, I said, oh, let me wear these shoes. I'm wearing different shoes every day. I don't know, I just felt like wearing different shoes every day. And I'm like, let me wear these shoes. Mm-hmm. So I just put them on, and yeah. And I never wear them out.
Led by your spirit.
Yeah, yeah. Without realizing it, but yeah. God guided me to it, yeah.
So we had a worship time, and all the kids come in. They pass out their tiles with the paintings on it, and then they do some worship time, and then after the worship is done, it's basically the end of the session. Blake walks back to get his shoes, and I'm sitting behind the computer, and the shoes are right next to me, and he's like, oh, I got one.
Yeah. Well, let me add a little context even before that.
Yeah, yeah.
As we're worshiping, you know, just honestly, some of the issues I've been experiencing, Sean and I have been having difficulties. Mm-hmm. I just think in general. Mm-hmm. But while we're worshiping, I'm seeing him up there. Just, you know, worshiping, really putting his heart into it. Mm. And God was prompting me, you need to go up to him.
Mm.
And I'm like, really? I don't know. I was kind of hemming and hawing, right? Yeah, but I finally said, you know what? Nah. God's prompted me to do this. I got to do it. Mm-hmm. So I actually went up to him. We haven't worshiped like that together in a long time. Mm. So I went up to him. I put my hand on his back. And I think he looked around like, oh, who was that? And he realized it was me. Mm. And then he instantly turned towards me, put his arm around me and said, hey, I want to pray for us. Mm. And he said a really nice prayer about our family restoration and things like that. And that was really nice, right? I don't think if all that stuff beforehand doesn't happen, I don't think I'd go up to him.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just another one of those things where just say yes. I didn't say yes that quickly, but I ended up saying yes. Mm-hmm. And And so then worship was done. And then I went to my shoes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm getting like emotional hearing that part of this. This is the first time I've heard that part of the story too. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really a nice moment. Mm. And it felt good. I feel like there's a lot of healing happening. Mm. And I just got to lean into it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, so Blake comes up. He's like, oh, I got one, right? And he pulls it out, and he looks at it, and it's a picture of a dark sky with...
Well, have Blake, okay. Have Blake describe it.
Okay, Blake,
yeah, it's a picture of a dark sky with the sun and planets all lined up. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And on the back, it had a little sticker with some words on it, mm-hmm. and it said, God is showing you his divine order for your life. Mm. And it just... I read that. I was like, wow, that's really appropriate for mm-hmm. the whole weekend. And mm-hmm. and for me, it just confirmed everything that happened that weekend. Mm. And it kind of put a nice little bow mm-hmm. on the entire retreat for me. It's mm-hmm. like, that's like the icing or cherry on top of the cake, or I'm not mm-hmm. sure what they're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, when I read it, it made perfect sense. It wasn't like it was some random quote. I read it and like, that was 100% meant for me. Mm-hmm. And it was really convicting to read that. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so then later that day, I texted Steph kind of that story because I just wanted to affirm her that, you know, what they're doing with the kids was really good, mm-hmm. you know, seeking the Lord, helping them to hear the Lord's voice, and just to affirm her that, you know, the kid that did that really was hearing from the Lord and it was really appropriate and Blake was really blessed by it. And it turns out that it was her own son. So she knew even more to that story because it was her own son. And so we also asked her, like, about the shoes. You know, we said, hey, did he get a picture of the shoes? Or was he just walking around kind of sensing it in the moment? Or how was that? And she told me back, she said, he got a picture of a pair of shoes. He didn't see the exact ones, but those were the closest pair to the ones that he saw in his picture. And so, yeah, if Blake had worn a different pair of shoes, mm-hmm. it wouldn't have worked out. So it's really cool how the Lord brought everything together.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And the thing is, I don't even say it's crazy. It's just, it's God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it's not crazy. It's just God. And I think it said something else on the back that Damon had sent me. It says, God is handling the big things, the planets, and the small things in that person's life. Mm. And that's exactly what happened that weekend, right? Where... it's not just part of me that he's handling. If I'm willing to submit, if I'm willing to take on his yoke, he's mm-hmm. going to handle everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, pretty awesome that he wrote that stuff down and then ended up in my shoot. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That was cool.
And to kind of bring it full circle, and the way this story started was Dale bugging you and other people, right? So like this divine encounter, but it's like sometimes we have that impact in people's lives where we're just at the very beginning and it's like to nudge somebody along and to get them into a certain place. And sometimes we're in the middle, sometimes we're at the end.
Yeah.
But I think that's what's cool. There was definitely different people that like impacted you and spoke into you and interacted with you in a certain way that this all came about. I mean, you still had your free will. You still had a choice in it, but those people inserting themselves into your story had a huge impact.
Yeah, and I say a few people reached out to me. It was Dale every time. I mean, I think it was like I think it was three times. I think I even have a text from her. Hey, you going to the retreat?
It's a way to go, Mama Dale.
Yeah, so thank you, Dale. Thank you for not giving up on me, really, and really realizing that how much I needed to be there. So
yeah,
and I think it's really cool too, just the way that the Lord. And like I said, this is the first time I heard the story about Sean, but it's the Lord touched different areas of your life throughout the weekend, right? So with the rock activity and with the stuff that Sam was doing, a lot of that was with your time and your, you know, commitments that you've been making. But like you said, there's been some stuff going on in your family. And he, in that moment on Monday morning, started is continuing the reconciliation process of within your family. So it was your commitments and your family, not just one or the other. I thought that that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. It was pretty crazy, but it's awesome. And look, I'm here. I came on the podcast. I left as soon as I got done with work. I'm in the car driving on the freeway to get here so I could be on the podcast. So that's just saying
thank you for doing it. Yeah. No, because I could tell when you shared it was super impactful, but I'm like, I heard some pieces from Damon, but I'm like, oh, there's more to it than that. So even like he heard new stuff today, but I could tell letting our listeners hear this journey, I'm sure it gives them a lot of like encouragement and hope and a lot of relatable things that they can like connect with.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's just God is good. Mm. God is good.
And now she can pay you back because I know that when Kimiko comes on the podcast, you listen to it a few times. So I'm sure she's going to be listening to this one and be like, go God, go God. Keep doing my dad.
That's funny. Yeah. Maybe if she finds out about it. Yeah.
Oh, I'm pretty sure she'll find out about it, right, Damon?
Yes, I'm definitely sending this to her later.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Blake, for coming on. Are there any last things that you'd like to share with our church family before we end this episode?
No, just, hey, I'm all in, guys. Mm. So if you guys need anything, I'm in a yes season, so now's the time to come talk to me.
Which is crazy, right? Because last week he's like, man, what can I stop doing? And now he's like, I'm going to say yes to stuff, so... Yeah, it really has to be the way that the Lord moved in you this weekend. So just go God.
Go God.
I think that's the cool part when you get that genuine spirit encounter with the Lord. When your spirit comes alive, it's like that. It's like, oh man, I want to do whatever. Like, just give me more. And it takes away those barriers that our flesh puts up. And yeah, so I'm so excited for you, Blake.
Yeah. We'll see what the next year, 2, 3 has in store for me. So who knows?
It's cool.
All right. Well, thanks, Blake, for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And thanks to all the listeners out there. And hopefully, if you missed out on the retreat, you got a little bit of a taste of what it was. If you want more, I'm sure there's plenty of people at church that you can reach out to on Sunday morning just to have them share some of their experiences. Because I don't think that Blake was the only one that had some amazing encounters with the Lord this weekend. So reach out to people, share about it. And if you missed the retreat, we got one coming up in 2 years. So don't miss the next one.
I'll sign up early.
You know what? Oh, this just might be a prophetic word. You might be taking on Dale's role and going recruiting people. Hey, have you signed up yet? Did you sign up yet? Maybe she's going to pass that on to you next
time.
That's
what the Lord puts on me. I'll do it.
All right.
All right. Well, we will come back to this episode in 2 years to see if that prophetic word comes true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again.
And in the meantime, we'll just keep feeding you honey bears.
Honey bears, yes.
That's a little inside thing. You can ask Blake about it, but just honey bears are the way to Blake right now.
Definitely ask us because these things are amazing.
All right. Well, thanks again for listening. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.